Welcome to Not Enough Champagne, a podcast refusing to come back from its holiday. My name's Corey Hazelhurst, and Steve Haynes, I'm afraid, is not with me in person at the moment at present. Steve is taking a break from the bunker and is sipping mojitos in the finest cocktail bar that Skegness has to offer. But have no fear, listeners, you will hear his voice in a second. We are on holiday at the moment. It is silly season. It feels like there's a lot of news happening at the moment, but let's face it, it's basically posturing at the moment, isn't it, listeners? Before we return, well, here's a quick outtake from the episode we recorded about the Lib Dems a couple of weeks ago. And actually, it does fit quite well with the kerfuffle that's going on with Labour and the Lib Dems over governments of national unity and Brexit, all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit on Labour's Brexit position, a little bit on Lib Dem positioning as well. I do think it holds up reasonably in the light of later events. So have a listen, see what you think. With Labour's attacks as well is, and Thea Bertram, who's a former advisor to Gordon Brown, said this as well, it would work probably with those of us who are going to vote Labour anyway, despite everything.
Yeah.
According to the polls, that's about 25% of the electorate at the moment. However, it's a good 20%+ of the electorate who know all of that stuff about the Lib Dems and are going to vote for the Lib Dems anyway. And they're going to vote for the Lib Dems because of their policy on Brexit.
And the fact that the coalition feels so very long, long ago.
Well, the fact is, if you are a young voter and you're at university first time voting, or you're at college or what have you, and you're 18, you don't remember the coalition. If you were born in 2001 and you're a first time voter this year, you were 9 when Nick Clegg was Deputy Prime Minister.
God, that makes me feel old.
I get that austerity was bad. Yes, the Lib Dems helped enable the coalition. Yes, they did. But I think the other thing politically is people already think the Lib Dems got punished for that. I think there's this thing in 2015 where people didn't expect the Lib Dems to do quite as badly as they did. I get the impression it was this, well, we kind of wanted them to get, a slap on the wrist and a little bit punished, but we didn't expect them to kind of get run over and stamped on and petrol poured on them and kind of set on fire and only end up with 8 MPs rather than 50. So I almost get the impression, okay, that was then, this is now. And elections are meant to be about your policy proposal in the future. And again, the same people who are attacking the Lib Dems and austerity are also saying that Labour's record and the new Labour and Tony Blair and Iraq and all that kind of stuff doesn't matter now for the Labour Party. And
you can't square those circles.
Only if you're a tribalist bastard.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is the thing. If you forget that sometimes it's these people who love the smell of their own farts. Like, you can forget about it if you assume that your party's right on everything all the time and your party's right on everything now. It doesn't make any sense. And the whole point, the problem is that attitude means you're not going to win over anyone on the doorstep.
This is unusual. We're defending the Lib Dems.
It's more, it's how do you attack the Lib Dems, I think. Isn't it? I don't think moral outrage really works.
No, it doesn't.
It needs to be a more subtler attack. I mean, I would say, well, look, we've been here before, haven't we, guys? Like, the Lib Dems have history of fixating on an issue like tuition fees, and they get a lot of votes out of it, and actually nothing really happens as a result. Or maybe they kind of sell you out a little bit. I think that's a better line, really, rather than going, oh, you can't vote for them because they're evil and enabled hundreds of thousands of deaths. And so, well, not sure that's the best way I would go about attacking it. And that's the thing.
There is definitely a way that Labour can attack the Lib Dems effectively. But I think the problem is currently the leadership and an awful lot of the people that are surrounding it aren't going to be thinking clearly on that regards. Because, one, they are very much of the ilk where they're going to be buying into that. This is an effective method of attack. We point out all of the terrible, terrible things that they did, yada, yada, yada. and completely missing the fact that actually people quite like them because of Brexit.
And the thing is, it's also Labour's lack of a strategic line on Brexit. And we've kind of hinted at this at the start. And I'm going to say something that if you've come to this podcast because Mark Pack linked Knight to us because he's nice, and if you're still listening to us, you'll probably end up switching off. But I'm going to talk about essentially how Labour and the Lib Dems on Brexit at the moment basically have the same policy, right? Lib Dem policy at the moment on Brexit is we want a referendum on a deal and we'll campaign for Remain on any deal. Labour's policy is we want a referendum on any deal and in almost every circumstance we'll campaign for Remain. The only person who thinks we'll ever campaign for leaving is our leader. But that's part of the problem.
Yeah, that is fundamentally the problem.
And the problem is there's the scenario where, oh, well, maybe if we're in government, we'll negotiate the deal and we still have this fantasy, or some in the party still have this fantasy that we can negotiate. But essentially, it's the same policy. The Lib Dems haven't moved to a policy of revoke. And Labour's policy essentially is to campaign for Remain in almost every scenario. Yes, there's a very big difference in tone. The Lib Dems were there much earlier than Labour were, credit to them. The statements from the Labour leadership are lukewarm at best and certainly muddled in terms of what we do when we're in government. That is true. And then the conversations I have with Lib Dems, they then say, ah, well, Labour's only doing it for electoral gain. And they say, well, as if the Lib Dems weren't. As if the Lib Dems didn't come to this policy because they knew it would help win back voters who deserted them and it would give them a reason to exist. So please don't try and convince me that somehow... Like, this is a situation where the Lib Dem principle in being the most pro-European party and electoral advantage coincided, and it hasn't done for Labour for a while, and that's why there's some difference as well.
Like, I agree with you. It is fundamentally that issue is it's where the Lib Dem principle, and that's the key word there, principle of being pro-EU and the electoral advantage have aligned. Yes, absolutely. It's being done in a way that's, you know, electorally advantageous, but at the end of the day, it's a principle for the Liberal Democrats, and you will struggle, genuinely struggle, to find anti-EU Lib Dems.
Stephen Ward.
Forgotten him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he didn't last. He had to leave. But yeah, you will struggle to find a large number of Liberal Democrats who are anti-EU. And the reason for that is because European identity has long actually been a part of the Liberal Democrat ethos. It is an internationalist party, but a liberal internationalist party. And as a result of that, the EU, which is broadly speaking a liberal internationalist organisation, is something it very much associates with. So it's very, very strongly ingrained into the Lib Dems' DNA. As a result, any nuance or failure to communicate or umming and erring on the part of Labour is immediately going to get viewed and kind of struck down as in a negative way. Because at the end of the day, if you're, practically, maybe you are correct that in 99% of scenarios, Labour comes out, backs Remain in a referendum, but there's still that 1%. Because the person who matters, Jeremy Corbyn, he's the one who can't turn around and say without 100% we would back this, even though it would actually electorally be advantageous.
We'll get on to the issue of Jeremy Corbyn, I might rephrase that, in a second. But I think it's also because the story that Labour tells in terms of its policy on Brexit is substandard too. And this is why for years we've been saying to fire Seamus Milne out of a cannon before actually it was popular.
We're just the trendsetters.
We have defended Labour's constructive ambiguity on Brexit. Essentially worked up until January when May's deal went down. And what Labour could have said is we tried to make soft Brexit work. We tried to find an accommodation between leavers and remainers. Turns out there isn't one. There would have been one 3 years ago. Theresa May used this for partisan advantage. We can't work with her. We are now committed to staying in, or at least we're committed to giving the people a final say. We could have done that, and actually that would have put us into a position to bash the Lib Dems for, I think, the most egregious thing they've done in the last 6 months, which is to not vote for the Norway option in the indicative votes. Because, again, the Lib Dems under Clegg, and generally liking coalitions, wanting parties to work together, they had the option of voting for the softest of soft Brexits in those indicative votes. Although I think Norman Lamb did vote, and some others, I think Tim Farron might have done as well. But essentially, some Lib Dem MPs, admittedly some pro-people's vote Labour MPs do, I'm looking at you, Bantasaurus Rex, because they didn't vote for that option, that Norway option didn't get a majority. And if we are staring down the barrel of a no-deal Brexit October-November, it's partly because MPs didn't come to a consensus. Yeah,
absolutely. 100%. There is an awful lot, I think, around that, and that period of indicative votes where so many pro-European MPs, they done screwed up because they were trying to... They decided, we might be able to win and get back in completely rather than focusing on just trying to actually do damage control. You can kind of see why, but at the same time, well, guess what? Turns out that wasn't the correct call, and you do need to be held accountable to that.
Yeah, I can see why, and I do not want lots of tedious messages telling me why Norway isn't as good as Romania, because I know them and I campaign on them. However, when you're on a ship that's sinking, you grab hold of a lifeboat, and that Norway option, or finding a majority in those indicative votes, could have been that lifeboat. This is the problem, where actually Labour could then have said, we have tried to make this work. We didn't like it either. We've tried to make this work. You are now just intransigently holding out for your best option rather than what's good for the country. And we haven't done that because, I mean, essentially, our communications team is terrible, and strategically, we are just not sure what to do. And we've been saying the same thing for 6 months, not in the way that the Dems have been doing, because they've actually had a coherent line all the way through.
Yep.
No doubt we'll go deeper into Labour Lib Dem politics in detail when we return next week. Hello, Mark, by the way. Don't think I've got that in yet. In the meantime, one thing we are doing while we're away is we're trying to plan out what we're going to talk about on the podcast over the next 6 months or so. And so what we've done is create a survey on SurveyMonkey that listeners can fill out and tell us what they think about the show, what they like about it, what they think could be improved. There's only about 9 questions. It takes about 4 or 5 minutes at the most to complete. The link is on the show notes to this show. We'll put it out on Facebook and on Twitter as well. If you could fill it out and let us know what you think, and especially any constructive feedback you've got or any ideas for episodes, will be really gratefully received. We are back recording next week, so look out for an episode around about a week on Thursday, so that's August the 28th, and then we'll have regular episodes coming out every Sunday from now until the end of the year, even if there is a no-deal Brexit. Thank you so much for listening to this one, and thank you in advance for completing the survey. Our Twitter handle is @NoChampagnePod. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/NotEnoughChampagne. James Cram designed our logo. You can follow him on Twitter @JamesCram. Steve, whose voice you did hear from a galaxy far, far away, he's on Twitter @AcousticRadical. I'm on Twitter @PaperbackRioter. Happy plotting, and we'll be back next week.